we are holding on the last line, the narrow lines, and I'm at $1,200. We started talking yesterday about the idea of shomer shemos or the shomer. One shomer was given something to watch, and then he gives it over to another shomer, and something happens to it. What happened? We said Rav had said he's potter, although we said in the end Rav didn't really say in so many words that he's potter. It was just inferred from a case. And Rabbi Yochanan says he's chayev even if he upgraded the shmira, even if he gave it to a higher level shomer, such as a shomer chinam, giving to a shomer sachar, still the owner has a valid complaint against him saying, I don't want my pekodin to be in the hands of somebody that I don't know. Or not even that I don't know, whatever, somebody that I don't usually otherwise we'll get to who the halacha is like later. So, Yosef Rav Ami v'kamalola hoshmaita. So now, Rav Ami one time was sitting over and saying this discussion about whether you potter or chayiv in this case. Eitzvei Rav Abba ma'memel or Rav Ami. So Rav Abba ma'memel asked Rav Ami a question from our Mishnah. You're telling me then that if a shomer gives something to another shomer and something happens to it, the first shomer is automatically chayiv, according to Rav Yochanan. What about our Mishnah? Hasecha part of my chaver, if a person rents a cow from somebody else, v'ishilalacha, he lends it to somebody else, or makes a kadavka, and it dies normally, in the kind of scenario, therefore, which, as we said yesterday, a soicher, a renter who has basically the same dinim as a shomer sacher, would be potter for it, a shoyer would be chayiv. We said, yeshava ha-soicher shemetze kadaka, the soicher swears that it died under normal circumstances, v'ashoyer, mashalom ha-soicher, and then the shoyer pays the soicher, and then, okay, we had Rabbi Yossi disagreeing with that and saying that he pays the original owner. The im isa, now, Rabbi Abba Ma'memel asks, if you're going to tell me that Shomer Shemos al Shomer, the first Shomer is Chayev, regardless of what happens to it. Lemele, why doesn't the original owner have the ability to say, Ein Ritzoni Shehe Pekdonim Yadachar, I do not want my Pekodon to be in somebody else's hand. You had no right to lend it out in the first place, and therefore, without my consent, and therefore, you're Chayev. You're a Socher, and a Socher should be Potter for Mesa Kadaka, but you were Peshea in this by giving it to somebody else.
By ignoring my.
By not asking me permission. Amalei, so Rav Ami answers him, Hachab Mayaskinen, yes, but our Mishnah, the case that our Mishnah is talking about, Vishnosna lo Rishus Abaylim, Abaylim Rishus Lahashel. No, we're talking about the owner did give him permission to lend it out. So he can't say anymore, in return, in shape of penny. Then the question is, Labaylim Boy Lashalumi. In that case, shouldn't the shoyl have to pay the original owner? Why is he paying the socher? The socher himself is essentially just acting as a shliach on behalf of the balabas, so why is he getting paid anything? The answer is amrulel daitcha. Yes, but the case is that the owner says to the socher, says to the renter, it's up to you. It's at your discretion. You want to lend it out during the time that you rented it out? Gesunte hate. So I'm not involved in that. So on the one hand, I can't say ein ritzoni shepik zoni biad acher because I don't mind. I obviously don't mind. But on the other hand, we also can't say, therefore, that you're just doing it as an agent, as a shliach of mine, and therefore I'm the one who's going to get paid because you're doing it and you're doing it of your own discretion.
If the boss said he doesn't mind, then
just says he doesn't mind. He says ledaitcha, because he's saying it's up to you. If you want to lend it out for that purpose, you'll be considered its owner. Again, Rabbi Yossi would disagree with that. Chachamim would say that he's effectively saying that for that purpose, you're.
He consents, the Baal, he doesn't consent. He can say.
No, he can say. He can say ledaitcha. It's up to you. No, I don't mind.
Like a rental agreement would say, if this rental agreement, you can't give it to anyone. In this rental agreement, you can give it to anyone you want to give it to.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You have, for but example, then, when you lease an apartment.
I'm chayav if you give it to someone.
No.
I had to stipulate that
no.
You can rent to whoever you want, and you're chayav, but with your consent.
Yeah, well, you're potter, if something happens that you would have been potter as a regular shomer, you as the socher, when it comes to the payment, therefore the socher is effectively considered the owner of this animal.
But when you rent the house, you can have any guest you want.
Yeah. Whatever, so that's the scenario. We're going to see on Amud Beis that actually we're going to have another possibility that maybe the question and the answer aren't even necessary, as we shall see. So wait. And one thing is, the Rashash points out the question, okay, but if you're going to say that, at least you should argue then that the socher and the original owner should each maybe get half of the payment. Why are we saying the whole payment goes to the socher? And he answers, suppose the scenario is that the socher lent it out for the entire period of the shechiras. If we had the scenario we talked about yesterday, for example, where he rented it for 100 days and then wound up lending it back to the owner for 90 days, that's different. There was 10 days left. But if he, for example, rented it for a month rented it for a month, and then for at some point during that month, from then until the end of the period, he lent it out. Well, in that case, that lending basically cancels out his rental, and therefore you can say in that sense, the full thing of it goes to him rather than the original owner really has no connection with it at all.
What about after the rental agreement
is over, then he has to return it?
He has to return it.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess if the thing would die after the rental agreement is over, even though it was lent out, maybe it would go to the original owner.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, in this case, if it died during the time of the schirus, then there's nothing to talk about anyway. The socher is able to swear that it died, and then he's potter from paying. If
but
he voluntarily pays
from the poor borrower.
If it happened while the borrower had it, sure.
But if the term was over of the schirus, and then it died the next day, and the borrower never returned it.
Yeah, then the borrower.
Then he would have to pay it to the borrower.
To the owner, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so.
Right.
Even if it doesn't die.
Yeah.
In any case, he has to return it.
Well, yeah.
Well, he would have to.
Right. You'd have to return it or return the value.
It would be the responsibility of the renter
to
go after the guy.
Yeah. Right.
Seems like there would be some kind of responsibility to go after the guy.
That's probably true. Yeah, the social probably would have responded.
Yeah,
probably.
Go.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Onward. Masiv Rami Bachama. Okay, so Rami Bachama asks a question on this, another question on Rabbi Yochanan, or rather Abaya's understanding of Rabbi Yochanan's principle that's based on Ein Ratzoni Shepik Yoni B'Yadaka. A Mishnah later on in our parak says, HaMaskid Moritz Etzachaber, if somebody deposits money for safekeeping by somebody else, Sroron, that person tied it up in a bundle, V'hiv Shiva Machorev, and flung it behind him, which is considered carelessness because he should be carrying it in front of him. He's holding it in that's careless if it gets stolen because he should have held it in front of him. We'll learn about that later on next week. That's a shame. Master on the Bnei Britak Tanim, or if he gave the money to his young son or daughter, Bnei Bifneim Shalei Karoi, and locked the door but not properly. So Rashi explains that Bnei Bifneim is a continuation of the case with the children. He gave it to the children to watch, and then he locked the door to make sure that they don't go out and then drop the money outside, but he didn't lock it properly, so they were still able to get out. They were still able to get out and scatter the money. The Rif explains differently. The Rif and the Rosh have a different case. Gear, so they have two different cases. They learn it's Oynah Bifneim Shalei Karoi. That's one or the other. One is he gave it to the children to watch, and they were careless, and it got lost or whatever. Or two, where he put it in a box, but didn't lock the box properly, and therefore it ended up getting taken out of it. Anyway, Chayev, in all those cases, the Mishnah said he's Chayev to pay. That's Pshia Shalei Shoma Kedera Hashomer, because he didn't watch it, he didn't guard it in the normal way that a Shomer is expected to. We'll see when we get there. Wait. Taima Diktanim. Now, what is the Mishnah saying? Why is he chayev? Because he gave it to his young children. Hagdolim Potter, implying, but if he were to give it to his older children, above Bar and Bat Mitzvah age, sounds like he would be Potter. Amai, now according to Abaya's understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, why should he be Potter? Leimalei, Ein Ratzoni Shepik Yoni B'Yadaka. What are you doing? Giving it to your children. I didn't say that. Rava says it's different because when a person gives a pikadin to somebody else, he knows to begin with, he has in mind that the person may give it over to his wife or to his children. So he doesn't have if he explicitly stipulated otherwise, sure, you can always stipulate whatever you want. But if he didn't, then it's assumed, it's common knowledge that when a person receives a pikadin, he's not going to be watching it 24/7. Sometimes his wife will, sometimes his children will. So as long as they're adults, fine, they're bnei das, they're responsible people. So fine, that's acceptable. That wouldn't apply to giving it to a completely third party, to somebody else. We're talking about same difference because socher is just another kind of pikadon. He's one of the four shomer. Basically, the same underlying concepts apply to a socher as to a nifka. The only is to a shomer, it's any shomer. The difference is that a socher or a shoyl is allowed to use the thing, but other than that, yeah. Incidentally, Tosfos points out later on in the Perek that now what happens, Tosfos says, if this wife and children, for example, what if they don't have what to pay? Do we make so like this normally fine? We would say that if they did pshia, let's say they would pay. But Rabbi Natan says in Tosfos over there, suppose they don't have what to pay, then after all, it does go back on you, the original shomer, and you're going to have to pay after all. And Tosfos says, because the logic is, what are you going to have? A person is going to take a pikadon, give it to his wife to watch. She doesn't have any assets of her own. She's going to end up destroying or losing or whatever, and you're going to be potter. Then nobody's going to do it. So then in that case, not that you're peshe lachatchila. You're entitled to give it to your wife, but if she doesn't have what to pay, then it's going to bounce right back on you.
Okay.
There are other Rishonim who disagree with that and say that I think the Ritva disagrees with that and says that no, even in that case, because if the guy didn't want you giving it to your wife because he figures your wife may not have assets, he should have said so explicitly when he's giving you the Pekodin. Your wife, as far as I know, doesn't have any assets. You better not give it to her, because if it gets lost, then I'm not going to have what to collect from. Okay. Amri Nahadori, the Chachamim of Nahadra, pointed out, by the way, the Gemara, I forgot to mention this yesterday when we also had Amri Nahadori, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that usually when the Gemara says Amri Nahadori, specifically it means Rav Chama.
Rav Chama?
Rav Chama from Nahadra. Okay, anyway. Amri Nahadori, Dekanami, in fact, we can prove that there's this distinction between adult and minor children, but not between adult and minor others. We can prove it from the wording of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says Osher Masr and the Bnei Bidak Tanim Chayev. Because it says if he gave it to his small son or daughter, which we said Hol of Noel Bidak Gerlim Potter. Right. In other words, wait. Hol of Noel Bidak Gerlim Potter. Fine. First of all, there's the inference that we just said that if your children were adults, you're Potter. Miklal. But we can also infer something else from it. Delacherim, that when it comes to somebody else other than your own wife or children, Lo Shnag Gerlim Lo Shnag Tanim Chayev. Doesn't matter whether they're adults or children. Deem Cain, because otherwise, if there was no difference between your children and anybody else, Lisnik Tanim Stama. The Mishnah did not have to mention anything about your small children. It could have just said small children in general. And we would understand that you give it to small children, you chayev, because they don't have das.
So therefore, what's the...
That's the point. Because we say B'nai Bito shows that with your own children, you have the dispensation to say that if your children are above Bar Bas Mitzvah, you can give them the Pekodin, and that's fine, because Kolam Akbid Adas Yishtobano. But the maskid does not have in mind that you're going to give it to anybody else unless he gave you permission to do that, like we said.
Okay.
So that's, in other words, of the four possible, what are the, you have four possible cases. Your own children when they're ketanim, your own children when they're gdolim, somebody else when they're ketanim, somebody else when they're gdolim. What the Mishnah is implying, the Nahadori are telling us, is only out of those four possible cases, only one of those four will you be potter for anything that happens. Namely, if it's your children and their gdolim. And their gdolim. But if they're your children and their ketanim, or if they're anybody else, regardless whether ketanim or gdolim, you are going to be chayev, which fits exactly with what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, because in your tzoni shape, gdolim, yeah. Okay. I mean, good, that proves it. Okay, and Tosfos asks the question in that case, how would Rav understand that Mishnah? And Tosfos says, because Rav might argue fatev, that sometimes it's normal for a person to give his things to his little children. Rav wouldn't understand that inference necessarily, that there's a difference between, he wouldn't say Rav would say that, yeah, if you gave them to your small children, you're chayev, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. But not necessarily would the Mishnah be implying if you gave them to somebody else's small children or adult children that you should be chayev. Amar Rava, Hilchas Hashomer Shemasa L'Shomer Chayim. Bottom line, halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that a Shomer gives it to another Shomer, he's Chayim. And like we said on Amar Aleph, like Abaya said when he said it, Loim Reboi Shomer Sacho Shemasa L'Shomer Chinam. Needless to say, if the original Shomer were the Shomer Sacho, who has a higher level of responsibility, and he gave it to a Shomer Chinam, who has a lower level, the Garui Gair L'Shmira, say he weakened the Shmira, that alone is enough to make him Chayim. But even if he's a Shem Echinim who gives it to a Shem Esacha, where you'd think he's improving the security of it, still Chayev, my timer. Now, why is that? Not for the reason that Abaya said. Not in Rishoni Shep, it's going to be Adachet. Rava gives a different reason. Because the owner, the Balabas, can say to the original Shemer, At Mehem Nesli B'Shavua, you, I trust with a Shavua. So when it comes to the Shavuah, that the Shomer wasn't Pesheah, I trust you. I know you're a trustworthy person. I can accept your Shavuah, the other guy not. The other guy, I do not believe in it with a Shavuah. So fine, he'll come to Beis Din and swear that it was lost or stolen or what have you. Doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, he might well have it. He might well still have it in his possession. He might have eaten it himself. He might have whatever.
The Torah doesn't say that he has to believe in it, that the other guy can make a Shavuah or not. The Torah says he's going to swear.
Fine, but that's, I gave the Pekodin to you. You, by giving you the Pekodin, shows that I trust you with a Shavuah. Somebody else, a third party, I'm not obligated, I'll be Torah to trust him with a Shavuah.
Why not?
Because why should I? I didn't do any business dealings with him.
The Torah says
if you're
sure or not, he didn't authorize it.
He didn't authorize it, yeah.
But that's a different thing.
That's the point, in other words.
We're talking
according to Shavuah, exactly.
Right.
I'm not obligated to accept a Shavuah from somebody who I had no business dealings with. At the beginning of the Masechta, for example, we have the case of Chenvoni Alpintase, where we have the case over there where a boss, where an employer tells his employees to go to a certain store and then put stuff on his bill over there and he'll pay later. And later on, you have the owner, the storekeeper claims that he paid out X amount. The workers claim we never received it. We don't say, for example, the storekeeper will swear that he didn't give it out and then he'll be potter from paying the workers, because the workers had no particular business dealings with the storekeeper. They didn't set up an account with him. They were just told to go to him.
A normal case
of a shvur is you have two people. I trusted you. I gave you something as a pikadon. I lent you money or whatever. Therefore, that means I'm willing to trust you as far as a shvur is concerned.
But in any case, you have to have done something.
You have to have done some kind of deal with him that shows that you trust him. You're not obligated. If you don't trust him, then you wouldn't be dealing with him in the first place.
You can trust it for a deal, not a shvur.
Then if he's a choshed or shvur, that's different. Then you have the cases where you flip the shvur to the other party, whatever. Let's not get into that right now. The point is, here, this is a completely third party. The original owner had nothing to do with this person at all. There's no reason he should be obligated and based in to accept that person's shvur as anything, as worth anything. Now, therefore, Tosfos points out there is, though, an important nafkamina between Abaya's and Rava's answers. Let's say, for example, first of all, the case of our Mishnah where the original Shomer is able to swear. He was there when it happened. Therefore, he's able to swear. In that case, then Rava's reason wouldn't apply, as we will see later on the Amud. Or another example.
Able to swear.
In other words, the case of our Mishnah. Let's say the Socher lent the animal to a Shoyl, but he happened to be there at the time that it died and is able to swear that is able to swear on his own knowledge that it died. Good. Well, then according to Rava's reason, you can't make him chayav. Meaning, another.
The Baal is agreeable.
It doesn't matter whether the Baal is agreeable.
He cannot change the facts. I mean,
the Socher was rented the animal, which means the owner accepts the shvur from him. That's the point. He rented him the animal, showing that he's willing to accept the shvur from him. So fine, in that case, then if he's able to swear, if you had the socher wasn't around at the time and therefore can't swear, that's the case Rava is talking about. But if he's around, that's one thing.
So
also,
there's a case in Mabakama. I pay you instead of with money in the store of this person. And then
that was the Chenvoni Alpintase.
Right.
So there's
same thing.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a relationship. You don't have a relationship with the store owner. You don't need to accept the store owner.
So I have to eat the law.
Right.
Anyway, Tosfos gives another possibility. Let's say there were aiding there. So then, okay, whatever. The point is, according to Abaya's reason, it wouldn't matter. Adim, no Adim. Ein Ritzoni Shepetzioni V'Yadachas. Very nice, there were Adim there when the animal died. So you were still Peshev by giving it to him in the first place.
Where's the point to Rava then?
The primary place is in Shavuos. The Gemara discusses it in a few places. It's in Bava Kama, it's at the beginning of Bava Metzia. The primary place where the Mishnah talks about it is in Shavuos.
It's in Bava Metzia too?
I remember just reading it. Onward. Tosfos, by the way, points out, who is the halacha like between these two reasons of Abaya and Rava? Tosfos says the halacha is like Rava's reason. He says Rabbeinu Chananel would say the halacha is like Abaya's reason, but Tosfos himself says that the halacha is like Rava's reason. Yeah. The Rambam mentions Rava's reason also. I think he may mention both reasons, I don't remember. Okay. Itmar. Now we have another discussion which is going to end up bearing on this previous one. Poshaba, suppose that the shomer was careless with the animal. So let's say, for example, he didn't lock the door properly. The yotzeslagam, the animal went out to the meadow, umesa kadauka, and then it died normally over there. Now, the agam, Rashi points out, it's the kind of place wolves could easily devour it over there, thieves could easily steal it. However, in the end, no thieves came, no wolves came. It died just naturally.
Oh, so you did an irresponsible thing, but it died.
But it died, not something directly. Well, wait.
But it died anyway.
Wait. Abaya Mishmei D'Rabba Amachayev, Rava Mishmei D'Rabba Amapater. So, you have two versions of what Rava said. Abaya says that Rava said he's Chayev, and Rava says that Rava said he's Potter. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, I mean, how do you have two diametrically opposed things like that? He says, could be Rava at one point said one thing, then let's say later on after either Abaya or Rava left the Bismedrash, he changed his mind. The other Talmud didn't happen to be there to hear the retraction. So therefore, now they're left with two different versions of what he said. No, even if they told him. That's why you have to go. But no, because even, okay, so the other one didn't hear the retraction, doesn't matter. The other one could still say, okay, he retracted, but you know what, if I had been there, I would have proved to him that, you know what, his original version was right after all. I'm not obligated to accept his retraction. Okay, whatever, anyway.
No, that's the Beth Midrash.
Yeah, okay.
The door is locked.
No, come on. Abaya then says in the name of Rabba that he's chayev, and he adds an interesting expression. Any dayan who does not paskin like this, lav dayana, who is not really a good dayan, because we're going to have later on in the perek a discussion about the concept of chilasib of shia b'sayfer ba'onis. If you have a case where originally you were for shia, but in the end what happened that the thing was lost or whatever was not directly related, was not because of your shia, but rather because of an onus. So we have a machlokas later on in the masechta whether you're chayiv or patur. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So Abaya says like this. Needless to say, according to the opinion that there you chayev, okay, here you'd be chayev as well, because you were pesheya to begin with. The case actually later in the perek is like this. You have a case. Money, the Gemara tells us later on towards the end of the perek, if a person is given a pekudin of money, they have to bury it in the ground. That's the only safe way to keep it. So what happens now, you had a situation over there, a person was given a pikadon of money, instead of burying it in the ground, he decided to hide it in a hut made out of willow branches, the kind of thing, sort of like a duck blind, like hunters might use to hide out in while they're hunting. It's the kind of place. No Ganav would ever think looking over there usually.
In a branch?
No Ganav would ever think there'd be money there. On the other hand, it's
inside
not a safe.
Inside the tree?
No, inside the hut, whatever. In the branches, in the walls of the hut, whatever. However, it's not a safe place as far as fire. So if there were a fire, the place is very flammable. If there were a fire, the money would get burnt. In the event, there wasn't a fire, but in the event, it did get stolen. So the machlokas over there was Ichayev or Potter. So now, Abaya is saying over here like this. Later on, on Daf Mem Beis, we'll have it in a few days, Bez Hashem. So, you learned it. You learned it in Yeshiva. Okay. So Abaya says, needless to say, in the case, if we say that in that case you chayev, how much more so you chayev in this case? Because over there you have the only problem with the willow hut was the only problem with the hut was fire. In the event it didn't even get burnt in the fire, it got stolen by robbers, and you're still making him chayev. How much more so over here, where him allowing it to go out to the meadow is something that caused its death, as he's going to say in a second. So sure, you'd be chayev.
But here, this directly causes death. What's a kavachomer?
Not really a kavachomer so much.
It's similar.
Even according to the opinion that there you potter, on the grounds that, okay, over there you at least were trying to make it safe from robbers, because you put it in a place where you figured robbers are never going to find it, only in the end they did. And you say over there, according to one opinion, that you potter, hocha chayev. But here, nevertheless, Abaya would say you're still chayev. My timer, Damrin and Hevla de Agma Kapla. Because we say maybe the bad air in that meadow killed it. Now, actually, the Ritva points out, I mean, that's sort of a far-fetched thing to say, you know, I mean, the animals go out to the meadows all the time.
That was a Abaya.
This is a Abaya thing, yeah.
So, it's Robin Shmuel that had the Hevel of the bird.
Yeah, that's this is in a meadow, yeah. So the Ritva explains that it's not that we're saying specifically for sure, I mean, we're going to do a necropsy on the animal and find that it died because of the hevla. We're saying the guy was pesheya in the first place by allowing it to go out to the aga. Once that happens, anything that happens, if we have any sort of possible way to attribute it to the pshia, we're going to do that. And in that case, there's a logical reason over here to attribute it. Therefore, we should make him chayev. And that's why Abaya is saying that any dayan who says differently is no dayan, because regardless of what you say in that machloikas later on in Dachman Bey, you're going to have to come out logically to say here that you're chayev. On the other hand, Rava Meshmei the Rabba Amma Potter, and he also says, Kol Dayana Dlai Doin Ki Hai Din Alav Dayana. He uses the same expression. Anybody who doesn't do this kind of din is not a proper guy.
Okay.
Needless to say, according to the opinion that you're Potter by Tchilas of Shiva Seifer Ba'ones, then over here you would be Potter as well. Even according to the opinion that over there you're chayev, hacha potter. Over here, there's a valid reason for you to be potter. Namely, my timer, damrinan, malacha mavis, mali hacha, mali hasam. Because we say, when it comes to money over there, look, ksafim elam shmir elabakaka, if you had put them in the ground, they wouldn't have been stolen. Fine, you put them in the duck blind because you figured ganavim aren't going to come there, but in the event they did, the fact of the matter is you didn't guard it from Ganovim the usual way you're supposed to guard it. Therefore, we can make you chayav. But in this case over here, the animal would have died just as much as if it was in the house as if it's in the agam. Which means, by the way, the Ravid says, Rava disagrees with Abaya's premise that the bad air may have killed it. Rava says bad air in a meadow, in an agam or whatever, may weaken the animal. It's not, it wouldn't kill it.
Rava's like small, kind of.
It's sort of, yeah. All right. Okay. So, the Gemara continues. Umodi Abaya. Now, Abaya does agree. That if the animal went back to, that if the animal went back or was brought back to the owner's house, Umesa, and then it died over there, to Potter, at that point, Abaya would agree in that case. So again, he let it go out to the meadow. He let it go out to the meadow. It was there for a while. Then afterwards, he brought it back. Later on, he brought it back to the owner's house, and it died over there. Then he Potter. No, my time at Hohadrele, because after all, it returned. You can't say the hevel of the agam killed it. Again, fine, maybe it weakened it, but the fact that it got out of there and went still alive to the house shows that it didn't die as a direct result of the agam.
Could have been bitten by a mosquito and take a 3 hours by the time.
Okay, mosquitoes you're going to find everywhere. Again, you could sort of argue malachamavas mali, whatever, okay. Again, the pashtus with all these kinds of things, you go according to whatever medical knowledge is known at that time. You know, yeah, I mean, nowadays they might take a look and see if it was bitten by mosquitoes that only are in that area. Okay, whatever.
Crocodile came out when he was lifting a leg. On his way back?
No, come on.
Next to the agam, okay. And that's it. Swallowed it.
So, v'lekalameh hevela d'agma kapla, you can't say that the hevel of the meadow killed it. And conversely, Umoidi Rava, Kolecha de Ignav Aganav Agam. Conversely, Rava would agree about a case if a Ganav stole it from this Agam, where again the original thing of sending it out to the Agam was carelessness as far as that's concerned, because even Rava doesn't hold the Hever will kill it. He does agree it's dangerous as far as Ganavim can take it. Umesa Kadaka Be Ganav, and then later on, let's say the animal died naturally in the Ganav's house. In that case, Rava would agree to Chayev, that in that case, yes, he is Chayev. My timer, because why is that? The Shafta Malachamavas, because okay, let's say fine, the Malachamavas left this animal alone, it didn't die. But they said the Ganva Avakaima, it's still in the Ganav house, it's still gone from the owner anyway. So at the point at which the Ganav stole it, it's gone already then at that point. The what happens to it afterwards is really of no concern to us. Yeah.
That's logical.
Yeah. Okay. So now to relate this back to our previous Gemara, Omale Abaya Lerava, Abaya asks Rava like this. According to your opinion, you're saying that the Malachamavis could have just as easily killed the animal in one place as another, and therefore you can't be Mechayev him anymore if it was in the Agam than if it was at home. Then what about what we talked today at the beginning, that Abba Mamemel asked of Ami, how can you tell me that a Shomer is not allowed to give the Pekodin to another Shomer, and if he is, he's Chayev, and he asked him based on our Mishnah? And Rav Ami had to answer him that the case had to be where the owner gave him specific permission or generic permission or whatever to lend it out. Why did Rav Ami have to go to such a doyfet? V'leimalei, according to your logic, Rava, why couldn't Rav Ami have just answered him, Malachamavas, Malihacho, Malihasam? Okay, if an onus happens to it, why should we think it's any more likely to have happened in the Shoyl's house than in the Socho's house? Let the Socho say, you're right, Balabas, I didn't have a right to lend it out, I shouldn't have. However, dead is dead, it would have been just as dead if it was by me anyway. Therefore, accept my Shavua that it's dead, and I'm potter from paying. Don't make me pay for it. According to Abaya Svara, we can understand it very well. According to Abaya Svara, we don't say Malachamavas, Mali Hasa, or Mali Hasam. So therefore, he's responsible. So, but according to Rava, how do we? Yeah. Omalei, so Rava answers him, according to me, the whole premise doesn't exist. You, Abaya, who learned in the previous sugya that Rabbi Yochanan's reason that you're not allowed to give, that a shomer is not allowed to give it to another shomer, is because the original owner has the ability to say, I don't want it to be in somebody else's hands. Then fine, it's reasonable to ask a question from the Mishnah. You're saying that a shomer is not allowed to give it to another shomer, but in the Mishnah you see he is giving it to another shomer, and he ends up being caught from paying. So you had to have, Rabbi Abba Memel's question, you had to have the answer. But according to my understanding of Rabbi Yochanan's Shitta, where I said it's a matter of who's swearing the shvua, that the other, I don't have a reason that I'm obligated to trust the other guy's shvua. And there's no reason to ask a question at all, because in our Mishnah, who's swearing? The Soicher. The Soicher himself, the one who originally rented the animal. And like Tosfos said before, in fact, in that kind of case, because the original renter himself is able to swear, Rava would in fact say he's potter, even if he gave it to another Shomer, even though he wasn't supposed to. He could, Rava would say that Rabbi Yochanan would not make him chayiv in that case. Well, Rava is saying because he himself is able to swear. The owner does not have the ability to say, I don't trust the other guy's shvua. The Soicher will tell him, you don't have to. The other guy's not swearing to you at all. He's paying me, and I'll swear to you. So therefore, Rava says, according to that, there's no reason to ask a question and no reason for the answer at all. So fine, Rav Ami's answer doesn't fit with my opinion. According to me, Rav Ami didn't need to give an answer. The case of our Mishnah and the case of our Mishnah and the case of Shomer Shemosel Shomer are two completely different things. Masiv Rami Bachama. Okay, so now Rami Bachama asks the question on this principle that the question is going to be on Abaya. Abaya said that the hevel of we have to consider that maybe the hevel of the meadow killed it. Well, there's a Mishnah later on in our Masech. After our Perek, we're going to be going off the topic of the Dalad Shomim and getting on to other topics having to do with business. And then later on, in the middle of the seventh parak, the Gemara is going to resume the topic of Shomrim and then take it through the rest of the eighth parak. So over there, there's a Mishnah.
Wait 7 prakim and then we come back to the case.
Yeah, okay. So the Mishnah says over there like this. Hela l'rosh etzukin, if a Shomer took the animal up to the top of a high peak, of a steep mountain, the nafla, and then it fell down from there and was killed or injured. Ain za oinus, that's not considered an oinus. It's pshia, because normal for an animal to fall off so a high place like that. V'chayev, and therefore he's chayev. Implying, ha-mesa kadaka ha-reza oinus apotter. The Mishnah seems to be implying that, let's say, it died just naturally over there at the top of the mountain. Sounds like he'd be potter. He's only chayev, we're saying, because it fell.
Right, not kadaka.
Kadaka just means, in other words, from no specific external cause. Well, wait. Now, why should he be potter? According to Abaya's logic, why can't the owner say, you know what, the cold air in the mountains must have killed the animal.
Inami. Thin air.
Yeah, the thin air, cold air, whatever. Yeah, Rashi says tina, so the cold. But yeah, it could also be thin. Yeah.
Right, it's not high up enough to be
thin. Yeah, I guess, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Inami or upsina dahar kapla, or maybe the strain of going up the mountain killed it. So, again, according to Rava, maybe fine. You could say malachamavus, malihacha, malihacha, whatever. But at least according to Abaya, maybe even according to Rava also, the question can really be on both of them. Why we would say just because it died naturally over there, he's potter.
But you cannot say it's a natural death. The fact that you take him on top of the mountain.
Well, that's what we're asking. If it falls, obviously he's chayav. No, not all he's chayav. The implication is if it just died naturally, if it just had a heart attack there and peeled over, sounds like he'd be potter. Why?
But why should he have been put into that situation?
Why should what?
Who? Why should the...
Who gave him the right to do that?
No, that's not the question.
Well, that's what we're asking.
You're saying, I've got it here, so why don't you say it for the mountain?
That's what we're asking. Right. That's what we're asking.
And you could say the same thing for the mountain. If he died without falling.
The question is the animal died without falling, right.
So
the Mishnah is implying...
The
Mishnah is implying these parts. They're according to Abaya and maybe even according to Rava.
Abaya is going against the marsh, the foul air.
What?
The foul air in a marsh doesn't necessarily kill the animal.
Well, that's according to Rava, fine. But even he might agree that the cold air or the strain of going up or whatever, yeah.
You can apply to
whatever.
Because there's grass.
That's the answer. Hachav Mayaskinen, good. Hachav Mayaskinen, the answer is no, because what is that Mishnah talking about? Shehel al Mira Shomin Vatoiv. He didn't just go up the mountain Stamazoi for no good reason. He went up over there because there's a good fertile fat pasture over there. It's a normal thing for shepherds to take animals up there. So now it's not Pshia.
Well,
in that case, okay, if the animal fell also, if it's an expected thing when you give an animal to a shomer that he's going to take it to where there's good pasture, if this is a normal place where shepherds take their animals all the time, then it's not considered pshia to take an animal over there.
it's a place where they take them all the time. But
that's what we're talking about. That's the Shemesh Shehelah. The Derech HaRoyim, Rashi says it's normal for the shepherd, Lahalas from Behemoth Lidus, to take up animals over there to pasture. Okay. So.
Still has to take care of the animals.
Well, that's what we have to figure out. Right. He hardly not one now. I mean, the Lakota then fell. Why are we holding him responsible? The answer is Shahola Latokva, Latokva. Fine, but he should have held on to it. So he should have held on to it because if shepherds take their animals up to a place like that, they're going to hold on to the animal. They're going to hold the animals on a very short leash so they don't fall. He didn't do that. Wait.
You raise up a flock. How do you hold every animal?
So you take them one at a time. I don't know. You know what? In Bava Kamma, you'll remember that there was a case over there involving where a person was taking animals across a bridge, and one of them pushed another one and it fell into the water. And we said over there he should have taken them across single file.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So same thing over here. Fine, you're taking it up to some place where the animal could potentially fall. Yeah, you're going to have to take them individually. Okay.
Yeah.
Ihochi, then the question now becomes Eimer Reisha. Fine. What about the first part of that Mishnah? Also the Rosh Itzukin Minasla, where the Mishnah says if the animal went up to which implies that it went up on its own to the high peaks, the Nafla, and then it fell, Hareza Oinus, then it's an Oinus. Why? Ibola the Miskapa. Same idea. He should have held on to it to not allow it to go up. The answer is, Loitzricha, it was only needed to say Shitkafatu also to Kafatu Vyoda. If it overpowered him and went up, he wasn't able to hold it back. It was stronger than him, and therefore it went up, and then it fell down also. Without, so that's what we're saying. That's considered. So in other words, the difference is like this: in the first case, it went up on its own. He tried to hold it back. He wasn't able to. It went up on its own. At that point, if it ends up falling again because it overpowered him, there's nothing he could have done. It's an onus. In the second, in the other case where he takes it up there voluntarily, if he took it up over there because mid a shaman v'toliv, then okay, you know, he has a right to bring it up.
Know that the animal is so big he would not be able to hold it.
Once it went up there, what's he supposed to do? Yeah,
before it went.
So that's the point. It took a fatu volta. It overpowered him and went up. All of a sudden,
it was predictable.
What
kind of a shomer is this guy again?
I don't know. Anything other than a shoyl, I guess. If we're saying that it's an onus, either a shem chinam or either a shem skinam or shem
tafam.
Yeah, so if he's a shoyl, he'd be chayiv regardless. But yeah.
But it was predictable.
Yeah, but it wasn't necessary. Okay, let's say, for example, you know,
you knew it was a 300.
If he knew, but let's say he didn't know. All of a sudden, it was much more powerful than it was before. Okay,
strange.
Whatever. That's what. Okay, so that's.
So he wouldn't be.
So that's what we're saying. In other words, so there's no. It's true. You might well say if there was pshia to begin with, that the cold air or the strain or whatever killed it, and fine, you can be mechayiv on those grounds. But if there was no pshia taking it up there in the first place because it made a shaman v'toyv or because it overpowered him, fine. Then the mesa kadarko whatever you can't be mechayiv.
And if he took two animals at the same time,
that might be pshia because he should have taken them. So he should have taken them singly. Tosfos, by the way, points out that if we're saying that we still have to say that he took it up to a good pasture because we still need that answer. The Gemara has not gone back from that answer. In other words, there's two different factors over here. One is that he took it up to a mid shaman v'toyv, and therefore that itself was a reasonable thing for him to do, and therefore at that point, having taken it up there, if it falls, he's still chayev because he should have kept it on a short leash. But if it dies naturally, you can't blame him for the ultsina or whatever, for the albedo ultsina, because normal for him to take it up there. The other case is where it went up on its own, which is after the ulsa, where at that point, whatever happens, regardless whether it falls, regardless whether it dies naturally, he's not responsible because the whole thing was an onus from beginning to end.
Because he couldn't hold it.
Yeah.
I think that's strange.
And that's also, Tosfos also says that the point is, if he takes it up there, not because of mid or shaman v'toiv, then there is a certain pshia over there because not so much the taking it up, but the fact that he may not be careful enough to keep it from falling, and therefore we can be mechayev him. Okay. And therefore we can even mechayev him if it died in that case. If he didn't take it up, if it didn't overpower him and he didn't take it up because of mid or shaman v'toiv, then anything that happens will be chayev. That'll be still also the pshia of a sefer bonus. The Mishnah had said, Amr Rabbi Yossi, Kesed Allah is a Chor of a Porosichola. Rabbi Yossi had said that how does a person do business with somebody else's cow? You can't have the Shoyal is going to pay the Soichel, you have to have the payment goes back to the original owner. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Halacha Kerab Yossi. Amr Leid Rav Shmuel, well, however, Amr Leid Rav Shmuel by Yehuda Le Rav Yehuda, So, Amrit Lan B'Shmei D'Shmuel. Now, you told us, Rabbi Yehuda, you told us in the name of Shmuel that, fine, you told us the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. You also told us cholok hayu Rabbi Yossi after Rishona. You also told us that Rabbi Yossi had the same disagreement when it comes to the first Mishnah in our parak, the case where the shomer voluntarily paid rather than swearing, and he said the kefil, the abba, the hamisha goes to him. The question is, you said that Rabbi Yossi disagreed in that case also. That Rabbi Yossi would also say, how are you getting kefil for somebody else's animal? The question is, halacha kamosei, ain halacha kamosei. You're saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, but he's arguing in the first Mishnah, is the halacha like him over there also? In the first Mishnah, we didn't say, but we didn't have Rabbi Yossi's opinion over there. But if we're saying after these two Mishnayos that Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing, and Shmuel is understanding that he's disagreeing in both, and that the halacha is like him in the second one, well, is the halacha like him in the first one or not?
So Shmuel says two things. Halacha is like him and it goes like both. And
halacha is like, him over here, and that he argues on both.
Where does he say that he argues on both?
Here. That's the first. After Rishona, that he also argued on the first case, the first Mishnah of the Perek. So the question is, Shilam Lerab L'Shavak. So the question is, halacha kamosei and halacha kamosei. So is Shmuel saying the halacha is Rabbi Yossi in that case also, in the first Mishnah as well, then we would say...
Why don't you say that the halacha is like that in the second case, but not in the first case?
Well, that's what we're asking. If we assume that Rabbi Yossi disagrees in both cases, do we say the halacha is like him in our Mishnah, but not in the first?
Why would you assume that the halacha is like him in both cases?
Why not? If he's arguing in both.
Well, yes,
because it's the same principle. It's the same logical. It's the same logic. Same way as over here, how are you getting paid for somebody else's cow? The same way over here, how are you getting paid kefil or abba b'chamisha for somebody else's cow? It's the same logic. Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda tells him, yes, cholokoyer Rabbi Yossi after Rishona. Yes, indeed, Rabbi Yossi disagreed on the first case also, the first Mishnah. The halacha kamosei after Rishona, and indeed, the halacha is like him on the first Mishnah as well. Itmar Nami, and in fact, they said also another discussion of Amaroyim, Amar Rabbi Lazar, cholokoyer Rabbi Yossi after Rishona, the halacha kamosei after Rishona. Rabbi Lazar says the same thing as Shmuel. However, Rabbi Yochanan says no. Moidahoy Rabbi Yossi, but Rishona shekvar shilei. Rabbi Yossi would agree in the first Mishnah because the guy already paid before the ganav ever came. In our Mishnah, all he's doing is giving a shvuah. The shoyl is paying, and he's swearing. But in that case, he already paid before the ganav was ever caught. So that's different. Rabbi Yossi might not disagree in that case.
That's not what we concluded before. I mean,
what do you mean? Shilim in lo shilim lo? So you're telling me only if he actually paid? Well, Amr Rav Chiya ba'Abba Amr Rav Yechanan. Didn't we say at the beginning of the parak that Rav Chiya ba'Abba said in the name of Rav Yechanan, lo shilim, shilim mamish, the word shilim doesn't mean literally he paid. Elokivin sha'oma hareini mishalim afish lo shilim. Once he said, I'm going to pay, even if he didn't actually pay yet, it's as if he already paid.
Once he said, right.
Ella, okay, so you have to amend what Rav Yechanan said a little bit. Kivin sha'oma hareini mishalim, yes. Ema, Moida, Hoy Rabbi Yossi, but Rishona. Fine, Rabbi Yossi would agree in the first case. He would agree with the Tanakhama, Shekvar Omar Harein Mishalim. Because the difference is there he already said, I'm going to pay, whereas in our Mishnah, he's not saying anything about payment. In our Mishnah, he's swearing. So therefore, it is a different logic, and therefore Rabbi Yossi would say differently over there.
The fact that he said it,
as opposed to our Mishnah, where he did. Yeah. And that's the maskana. The usual rule, in fact, is when there's machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, generally the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. This is one of those examples. Thus, indeed, the halacha is that we follow Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah. We don't follow that logic in the first Mishnah, and the Shomer does in fact get the kefil or the tashlum abba b'chamisha.
Because he
actually volunteered to pay before the ganav was even called in the first Mishnah. Okay. Mishnah says, Omer l'shnayim. If a person says to two people, "Gazalti la'echad mikem mona," I stole a mona from one of you, ve'eni yedei eizen mikem, but I don't know which one of you I stole it from. Or another example, he says, "Aviv shal'echad mikem hifkid li mona," the father of one of you two deposited a mona for safekeeping by me, ve'eni yedei eizahu, and I don't know which one it was. In that case, he will have to pay a mona to each one, shahodi mipi asme, because he volunteered, he admitted on his own. So the Gemara is going to end up explaining what that means. Basically, it means we're talking about b'vol lotis yidei shemayim. We're talking about a case where he wants to be yotze, he wants to be yotze dinei shemayim. We're not talking about whether they have the ability to sue him in Beis Din for it. We're talking about once he was moedim in piasma and wants to accomplish that the Eivishter shouldn't punish him for it, then he'll end up giving a mona to each one. Mind you, by the way, Mephoshim says that's why it specifically says Aviv Shalachem Mikem, because suppose he doesn't. Suppose he just says, one of you gave me a Pekadon. That's different. We wouldn't even make him Lotus Yidei Shemayim pay both of them, because it should be the responsibility of whichever one gave it to him.
No, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Another case, Shnayim Shehefkidu Etzel Echad Zemon of Zemosayim. If two people deposited some money by one person, one deposited 100 and the other deposited 200, later on, when they come to collect it, each one says that I'm the one deposited the 200. We had this at the beginning of the Masechta, you remember? Yeah.
Right.
Each one says that I deposited the 200. You give a mona to each one of them, because each one of them definitely deposited at least a mona. Yeah. The rest of it has to be set aside till Eliyahu comes or until one of them admits, as the case may be.
You don't make him swear?
Who would you make swear?
Most of them? He doesn't know. He can't swear anything.
The two.
Mine and it's mine. Why wouldn't you make them swear? Why do you have to wait until
I bet you could say whoever wants to swear. If one of them wants to swear, one of them doesn't want to swear.
To make them both swear, we'd have to do like the beginning of the Masechta and split the 100 between them. And Rashi and Tosfos discussed over there two reasons why we wouldn't. Rashi said the reason is you have somebody over here is definitely a Ramai. Somebody over here is definitely a cheater. You can't make them swear on that one of them is for sure going to be a false oath. But the other Tosfos gave a different reason. You can talk about splitting it, for example, at the beginning of the Masechta, Shnaimos and the Talis, when it's conceivable that that's true. Maybe the attacker picked it up both together. Maybe they both paid for it together, whatever. Here, only one of them deposited the 100. There's no question it belongs to either one
that's
or the other.
I'm saying that they should have.
No, so we can't make them swear. We can't split it in that case between them, and we can't make them swear either because,
even if you make them swear.
Let's say each of them swear. Then first of all, besides that, one of them lied. But then what? What are you supposed to do then? That doesn't help us. The 300 is still going to be in doubt over there. You're not any better off than you were before they swear. Okay.
Wait, and don't we want someone? What was the thing where we want to prevent someone from falsely claiming that the guy was extra
money? What is the cheater losing out? He Taka only gave 100. He's getting back his 100. There's no incentive for him to tell the truth. Rather, Rabbi Yossi says you have to set all of it aside, and hopefully we learned at the beginning of the Sechta, we said two possibilities. Either that it may induce him to confess, or that the Chachamim made a knas on him.
Well, then you might have had him swear, and he's going to induce just much more to confess.
Not necessarily, because again, if he swears, then what? He's going to collect it, but you can't have either of them collected on the basis of their shiur, because the fact of the matter is, we don't know which one it belongs to. And what are we going to do?
He confesses, he at least gets his 100 back.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he doesn't.
No, but swearing, you swear in order to be able to collect something. Over here, if both of them swear, what are we going to do? Make the shomer have to pay out an extra 100?
Which one wants to swear?
And if both of them say they want to swear, then there's no point
right.
in it. Fine. Then there's no
point. That's what I was thinking. If you can ask them which one wants to swear, and one of them definitely doesn't,
and the other one doesn't, then
you can give it.
Yeah, but if both of them say they want to swear, we can do whatever.
It would be like looking at the other guy.
Yeah, it's okay. We can try to do whatever it takes to try and get them to admit the truth, but we don't have the ability to actually tell them you're both going to have to swear.
Except if one agrees and one doesn't.
If one agrees and one doesn't, then yeah. V'chein shnei kelim, another case. Mepharshim, by the way, talk about an interesting thing the other way around. Why don't we say the shomer himself is sort of like a moedah b'mikvah? He's saying, I owe 100 to you and 100 to you. I'm holding the third 100 by me.
Right.
Why don't we say he's a moedah b'mikvah? So they talk about a couple of other Ramban, the Ram talk about a couple of possibilities. One of them is, he's not saying I want to hold it by me because I feel like keeping it for myself. He's saying I'm holding it by me because I don't know which of you to give it to.
Right.
You can't really call him a moedah b'mikvah in that case.
He's trying to give it.
Yeah. He just doesn't know who to give it to yet. V'chein shnei kelim continues the mission of the same way. If you have two utensils, two people were masked by him, two utensils. Echad yafa monav, echad yafa elavuz. One is worth 100, the other is worth 1,000. Later on, when they come to take him, zeyma yafa shali, zeyma yafa shali. Each one claims the one that's worth 1,000 is mine. Again, noisin a cotton lach of man. What we do is we give the smaller one to one of them. Out of the big one, we give the value of the small one to the other one. What does it mean, out of the big one? Rashi says it means Rashi says it means we break the large one and take a piece of it equal to the value and give it to the other.
So why you don't say like the previous one?
Many other Rishonim say that that's not what it means. That the Gemara later on does seem to support that, because the Gemara talks about that he's going to have a hefsid. But there are other Rishonim, the Ritva, the Rashba, and others, I think, who say that that's not what it means. It just means you sell off the big one and take out of it the value.
Sure, perhaps it. You go on a story, you buy something for $1,000.
Right, indeed, yes.
So the first case, we wait until Yahu, we don't
wait, know. Wait, Vashar, Yehem Monach, Hachiyav Eliyahu. The rest, the remaining 900 words have to be put away until Hachiyav Eliyahu. Again, Omer Rabbi Yossi Imkain Mahifsid on Amai. Rabbi Yossi uses the same argument, and then Amai is not losing out. El Akol Yemunach Hachiyav Eliyahu. Again, he says you have to set it all aside. Hachiyav is, the Halacha is not like him. The Halacha is like the Chachamim. The Gemara later on is going to tell us why we need two cases, one involving money and one involving Kaylee. We'll get to that tomorrow, Rabbi Yossi. So, the Gemara starts off from the beginning of the Mishnah, the first part that we said that the person says, I stole from one of the two of you, or one of your fathers was masked by me, and we say he ends up having to pay both of them. Alma, we see from that, Misfeka Mapkin Ramona, we're evidently taking away money from somebody because of a suffix. We do not say that, look, when both of them come to claim, each one is saying, I don't know. Both of them are coming and saying you stole from me, and he's saying I don't know which one. We don't say that we should leave it in his chazaka. Again, Yehi Monach Hachiyav Elio. We don't do that. Evidently, we make him pay both. Now, Urmini, the problem with that is, what about the later case in the Mishnah? Two people were masked by somebody, 200 and 100, where we give each one his mana, and then you set aside the rest. Why shouldn't we say in the first case also? Exactly, in the first case of the Mishnah, we should say, each of you is claiming a mana, I don't know which one, wait, and eventually, when will you? Amalei, so he answers him, or I don't know who the Amalei is, because it's just some of the Gemara, but whatever, okay. Pikadon a Gezel Karomis. What are you trying to bring a contradiction between a case of Pikadon and a case of Gezel? Gezel, the Avadi Surah, in a case of Gezel, where he, L'Hachila, committed an Isur by stealing, Kansur Rabbanon. Very well, we can say the Chachamim gave him a knaf and made him have to pay both of them. Pikadon, the Avadi Surah, whereas when he received the Pikadon, he didn't do any Isur. Therefore, like on Surah Rabbanan, therefore we could say that the Rabbanan didn't cancel him in that case. The Ramban or the Rosh, I don't remember, wants to say, actually, maybe we shouldn't say over here about talking about canceling him, because, first of all, the Gemara is going to say later that's not a knas, he's doing it himself, lost his Videi Shemayim, and second of all, the Chlal, do we cancel Ganev, or do we try to make it easier for him to do Tshuva? Okay, that one he infers that maybe there's a difference between getting the original value back to the owner and not, which is what we're dealing with over here.
Considered Gezer without proof?
Each of them is claiming you stole from me. He admits I stole. He just doesn't know which one it was. So there is a logical reason to distinguish between
them. Each of them are claiming that he stole.
Yes, second Rashi on the Gemara says, "Kzeteveya." Each one is claiming. Was there many a day?
And one of them is the Ramai too.
Right. It could be that he stole from both of them at one time or another.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
They
both have something stolen. They both accuse him.
He doesn't know if he stole from this one or that one. Some other guy stole from the second person. So none of them is a Ramai.
Well, why don't you say the same thing?
But that's the thing. Pikadon versus Gezel are two different things. The Gazlan did do an Easter. Therefore, we're assuming at this point, before we know that he's doing it Lotus Yidei Shemayim, we assume he's doing it Taka because he's Chayev and based in the pay. And the reason is because he was a Gazlan, so therefore we can't say him. However, the Gemara says, Rami Pikadon a Pikadon, Rami Gezel a Gezel. Fine, if you're going to say you can't contract between Pikadon and Gezel, fine, I'll find you a contradiction between two cases of Pikadon, and I'll find you a contradiction between two cases of Gezel. Namely, Pikadon Apikadon, Dekatoni Reisha, because the continuation in the Reisha of our Mishnah said, Oi, Oviv Shal Achad Mekem Hipkid Esli Mana. He says that one of your fathers was masked money by me, was masked $100 by me, at the Pikadon. Ve'eni Yedea Ezehu, Naisen Lozemon and Lozemon. We make him pay both of them. Or to Mini, now we have the contradiction, Shnaim Shefkid, later on in our same Mishnah, we were saying that you just give $100 to each one and set aside the rest. There is a contradiction between Pikadon and Pikadon. In neither case did he do an Isser. Why in the first case are we making him pay everything? And in the second case, Omar Rava, so Rava says it like this. Reisha Nasik Mishif Kidula Bishne Krisis. In the first case of the Mishnah where he says that your fathers were masked by me, we consider it as if they gave it to him in two separate bundles. Because it's not. I mean, in the first case of the Mishnah, only one person gave him a Pikadon. So it's the equivalent, if the parallel would be with two people, is if two people gave him Pikdonis, but each one put their money in a separate bundle. The difference is, De Havilah the Medek. He should have been particular to know, if it's only one person, to remember who that one person is. There shouldn't be a case where later on I can't remember if it was your father or his father.
The same thing without two bundles, he should have been a Medek.
No, Sefer, because in the Sefer of the Mishnah, where one gave 100 and one gave 200, it's as if they all gave it to him in one big bundle, because they both did it. No, Deloy Havilah the Medek. He does not have to be particular to be careful to know who's his who. Wait. Suppose the two of them were masked together at the same time, because then he can tell them, obviously you two are not masked on each other, because you gave it to me together at the same time without marking whose bundle is whose. Do you expect me to be masked? Whereas in the first case, there was only one masked that he should have, or even in the second case, each of them gave it in a separate bundle. The Rambam says, for example, write the name on each bundle. Don't have later, I don't remember which one.
Since these two gave it
if they both gave it at the same time. Right. So therefore, he can say that you guys yourselves obviously trusted each other, and you couldn't have expected me to keep track of it.
That's true.
To be continued tomorrow, that's the challenge.